want you to say the name of Jesus and just tell him you love him tonight. Jesus. Jesus, we love you tonight. We worship you, Jesus. This is your service, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We remove all obstructions in the name of Jesus. Join hands with the one next to you. I remove every spirit of division, distraction, diversion. I cancel Satan's assignment against this crowd tonight. Devil, you're a liar. I bind you. I coax your forces. I rebuke you, Satan. In the mighty name of the mighty Jesus of Nazareth, I release the people tonight to flow with that anointing. I release the glory cloud to smother us and to cover us. Hallelujah. Jesus, your will be done tonight, Father. Your will be done tonight, Lord. Jesus. 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 Souls, souls, souls. Save souls for your glory. Everybody put your hand over your heart. For 18 months, Pensacola, Florida, what I believe is the beginning of the last great move of God across this nation. They prayed this prayer, simple, sincere prayer. 18 months, over 1,200,000 people have come through the doors. Delegations of Japanese and Koreans, all over the world, planes flying in. All over the nation, buses driving in. What's going on? Dr. Cho asked God in the early 90s, Lord, have you reserved America for judgment? Or are you going to send revival to America? God said, I'm going to send a mighty wave of my glory to America. I'm going to begin in a seaside city called Pensacola, Florida. It'll burn like a match here, there, but it will spread all over the nation till all of America is ablaze with the glory of the Lord. And then the trumpet's going to sound and the voice of the archangel's going to ring out, folks. There's going to be a meeting in the air. He's coming for a glorious church. Whether you believe it or not is inconsequential. We're not asking for your approval. We're not promoting God. How can you promote God? He's God. He shows up. He shows off. He's been doing it for a long time. Revival fires are spreading everywhere. I've lived for this day. I've never seen a day like it. You're here tonight because you're hungry for more. A crowd like this on a Monday night, it's awesome. Pray this prayer from your heart. Dear God, speak to my heart. Change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give him a hand of praise, everybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. This service has been in my spirit, on my heart, all day long. 3 o'clock this morning, I was awakened by the Holy Ghost. He showed me tonight. Destiny has been inside of me all day long, driving on the highway. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, one of the best places to pray. You talk about spending hours. You drive hours on the road praying in the Holy Ghost. He's right there with you. Amen. I'm telling you, God's been talking to me about you, and there's a message he wants you to hear. And what's going to happen in this service has happened now for 11 weeks, 12 weeks, wherever we're at. I lose count. But anyway, by the way, there's no stopping this revival. It's all through the month of January, Sunday through Wednesday. Spread the word. Tell everybody. Talk it, talk it, talk it, word of mouth. Pastors, what you help happen at one church, God will cause to happen for you. It's the law of reciprocity. You bring your people in, God will fill them, they will spread it back in your church. There'll come a time when you'll look out and you'll see buses coming in from other places. It's an unusual day, folks, I'm telling you. People's lining up outside Pensacola, Florida to get in because the glory cloud's there. How many wants to see people line up outside your door just to get in to see God? Well, That day is here. That day's coming to you. I believe it. I saw a vision. God showed me there's going to come a time when God's going to turn our churches into revival centers. There's going to be something going on every night. Every night, doors going to be open sometimes 24 hours a day. People are going to come and just say, I want to get in. I want to get saved. You know why? The Holy Ghost is going to be poured out upon all flesh. Hallelujah. You look at the Mideast all you want, but the greatest sign of the time is the revival among God's people. When I drove in and saw this crowd of cars, and I walked in and I heard the sounds, and I saw the sights. I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's more than prim, proper, proud, prissy coming to this revival. Amen. How many knows? There's hungry hearts coming from four states that are saying we're sick of religion and we're sick of ourselves. We want more than just another sermon from another preacher. We want to see God. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to see him tonight. You've already seen him. The worship is what brings his presence down. I really don't want to preach until the people are doing what we've been doing now for over an hour, because that brings God in on us. The word goes into fertile soil, and then the Holy Spirit confirms the word. And what you'll see tonight in a few moments, as we give the altar call, you'll see many people run to the front with sin in their life. Never fails, every night. I need to repent. Some be lukewarm, some backsliders, some saints sitting snug, comfortable, not knowing that something's in them that's hurting God and destroying them. But the closer you get to him, I'm going to tell you something, folks, you don't know how cold you are until you get in the red hot heat of Holy Ghost revival. And the closer you get to him, the more you see yourself through his eyes. And so in a few moments, all pride is gone. We left it outside. Our clocks, there's no clocks in here, folks. I'm telling you, maybe 1 in the morning, midnight, people carried out in wheelchairs, because after we give the altar call for sin in your life, there's prayer teams that's been praying for 3 years. And I'm telling you, they're not playing games. They've been praying, seeking God. Some of the greatest prayer warriors I've seen in my life I've met since I've been here in the past several weeks. And they mean business. And we're going to come out there, lay hands on you, barely touch you, not pushing you, not trying to work up anything. We don't live the manifestations. Some of you's going to fall, some's going to shake, weep, laugh, and some will stand still. But regardless how you respond, when that glory comes on you and comes in you, folks, it's going to change your life, and you'll never be the same. This revival is about changed lives. How many wants God to change your life? Amen. Give him a hand of praise. In Luke, the 16th division, verse number 19, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple, fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which is laid at his gate full of sores. The reason I had you to say that is because this is not a parable. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But there was a certain rich man. There was a certain beggar. And there is, say there is, same rich man, same beggar, they're alive tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Elvis Presley is alive tonight, somewhere. Everybody has a living soul that'll never die. The heart may stop beating, but the beat goes on. I want you to listen to discourses from another world. I've never ministered on hell, but God gave me a message for you tonight. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's tables, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, some of the greatest prayer meetings going on tonight is not in this world, but it's in the underworld. But it's too late. I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. How many knows that's true? They just say, you're not him, you're his twin brother. And that's the way the hard heart of the carnal person is. Ladies and gentlemen, hell is a real place where real people are. It's not a concoction of the human mind. This is not a parable. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven. Some 15 times in the gospel, he speaks about a real place called hell. The word hell is found over 50 times in the Bible. Jesus Christ, everywhere he went, was warning and informing of this place of outer darkness. As I stand before you tonight, I know modern theologians have tried to turn the water hose on hell only to wake up there. And I want you to hear me. It's a real place. It's a bad place for bad people, where bad things happen, bad dreams, bad experiences, bad nightmares. But it's the epitome of badness. But there are some good things in hell, and that's the message tonight. John Davis, how in the world, in a place of apostate, reprobate, degenerate, unregenerate man, the Neros, the Pharaohs, the Herods, the Hamans, the Hitlers, the Husseins, the child molesters, the rapists, and all the bad, vile people in the world that are there, how can you dare have the audacity to say there's something good about hell? I didn't say there's something good about hell. I said there are some good things in hell. You see, there are good people in hell with good talent and good works and good memories and good ideas and good intentions. It's not just a bad place with bad people, but there's good people there, good mothers, good fathers, good citizens, peace, love, and law-abiding, tax-paying citizens are in hell tonight. You see, being good is not enough. Jesus didn't say, be good. He said, be born again. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to take more than your name on the church membership roster. It's going to take more than shaking a preacher's hand. It's going to take more than trying to be a peace-loving, law-abiding citizen. It's going to take more than coming to church. The devil comes to church. It's going to take more than reading the Bible. The devil knows the Bible better than some of us. It's going to take more than observing all the laws of religiosity. I want to shout it, and I want you to hear it. It's not optional. It's obligatory. It falls from the lips of our master when he talked to Nicodemus at a midnight meeting. Ladies and gentlemen, you must. It's not you may. You must be born again. There's only one thing that can save a sin-sick soul. Ladies and gentlemen, nothing but the blood of Jesus. But the blood of Jesus can cleanse you, save you, set you free from sin and Satan. Put your name in the Lamb's book of life, and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt before midnight that if Jesus comes or if I die, I'm not going to bust hell wide open. I'm just as sure for heaven as if I was already there. How many knows? You can know that you're right in God's sight tonight. Hallelujah. One of the saddest things in the world is to realize there are good people that are lost without God. As I stand before you tonight, I've asked God to help me preach as if I never preach again, as a dying man to dying men, to eternity-bound souls. But there's no way, with all the vocabulary that God would give me, adjectives, superlatives, that I would describe the horrors of an endless, chaotic night, that I could really communicate what I feel inside of me. Jesus spoke more about hell than he did heaven, not because it's his favorite subject, but because he was warning everybody everywhere. And that is simple, ladies and gentlemen. He wants you to know that hell is real. In the old economy, the Bible says all the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. It's a place of badness. It's a place of evil. It's a place of weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, ever falling but never landing, bottomless pit, ever dying yet never knowing the relief that death brings, ever burning yet never burning up or burning out. No relief, no release. Forever people are lost in hell. If any one person that stares at the smutty walls of hell tonight in the regions of the doomed and the damned would come back, and they would give everything to trade places with you. Oh, yes, they would. They would give anything and everything to be in this revival. Too late for them. But if they were to come back and take this microphone, ladies and gentlemen, they would preach a message like you've never heard before. They would say, get right with God. Come clean and clear. Prepare to meet God. The devil has told us there's no hell. Many have believed that lie only to wake up there. For there are no atheists in hell. They may proudly and loudly proclaim there's no God this side of hell, but one second in the regions of the doomed and the damned, they will pray. Oh, yes, they will. You've never heard a prayer meeting like going on tonight in the regions of the underworld. You see, this is not a parable. It's a true story. It's about two beggars. One begged on this side. The other begged on the other side, if you will. One was buried. One was carried. One was horrified. One was glorified. One had eternal pain. The other had eternal gain. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying the rich man was evil. Maybe he was a good man. But the saddest and sorriest sight in the world is to see good things in hell, a place that is reserved for badness and evilness. And yet there are good things there. My dad looked at his brother-in-law and he said, without flinching or mincing his words, he said, "Vernon, you're too good a man to go to hell." Ladies and gentlemen, as that word hit my uncle, I thought, my God, there are multiplied millions that are there that never intended to be there. For hell is a place where there's good people, good works, good memories, good ideas, good talents, good prayer meeting. There's a place where there's good intentions. It's been said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Marilyn Monroe was a movie star that made millions and swayed millions. She lived and left her mark on society. Billy Graham had a burden for her and sent word to her through one of his associates, "I want to talk with you." Marilyn was moved by the concern of the evangelist, and she sent word, "I've got 2 weeks. I'll finish this movie, and then I want to sit down with you." 2 weeks later, Marilyn Monroe was dead, and demons shouted with glee, because that is the slickest plank the devil has. 2 weeks, 2 days, 2 months, 2 years. When I get big enough or old enough or good enough, or when I get the family settled down, someday I'm going to get right with God. Ladies and gentlemen, plenty of time is one of the biggest lies that the devil tells us. Tomorrow is a word only found in a fool's vocabulary. For the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow." And the Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation." I'm not talking about tomorrow night. I'm not talking about next week. I'm talking about tonight. You've got an appointment with God, and God brought you here to set you free. This revival is not about a preacherette preaching sermonettes. It's not about people just singing and shouting. It's about all across this nation, God is sounding the alarm. He's given the call. Jesus is coming. The church is leaving. Death is imminent. Ladies and gentlemen, demons are raging and rampaging. This is not a revival. This is the revival. This is the last fast move of God across this nation, as God shakes us and makes us and breaks us and wakes us soon. And very soon, time is going to stop. We're going to stand in the hallowed halls of heaven and give an account. It's time to stop playing games and get right with God tonight. Come on. Good intentions. You may not know this. True story. Babe Ruth, awesome baseball player. Before he played baseball, a movie star. Made one movie. From that one movie, made $25,000. Proud of the check. And so he went on a tour for that movie company promoting the movie. He would hold up the check that wasn't cashed, and he would show how he had made $25,000, which was big money then. It's big money now for most of us. Amen. But as he held that up, he was proud. And when it came to cash the check, the movie company had gone bankrupt and the check was no good. I'm thinking about good intentions. I'm thinking about procrastination. Another day, a more convenient season. You see, nobody in hell really planned to be there. Oh, they may vociferously and boisterously shake their fist in God's face and say, "I'm atheist, agnostic, and skeptic, and pseudo-intellectual." But I'm telling you right now, folks, I've seen them come down to death's door. Death rattles in their throat. I've yet to see one shake their fist in God's face and say, "I don't want to go to heaven. I want to go to hell." Even if they are full of the devil, there is something in them that constitutes fear and terror and horror. What are you saying, John? I'm saying people that are there, the majority that are in hell, they never intended to be there. They thought they were all right. They were brainwashed, but they weren't blood washed. Or they intended to make things right, but they waited too long. You see, there's only 2 days that God knows. And the Apostle Paul said these 2 days time and again. He said, "Today is the day of salvation." And he said, "That day, today and that day, today and that day, the day of his appearing, but the day of his outpouring." Today is the day that God's going to confront you and set you free. Tomorrow never comes. It's a word found in a fool's vocabulary. The devil says there's plenty of time. It's the slickest plank he has. And tonight we're going to turn the table and turn the tide on the devil and say, "Devil, we're not believing your lie. We're not biting your bait. It's a lie. It's a lure. But at least the devastation and multiplied millions are staring at the walls of hell who believe the lie of Satan. Tonight, let's put the devil on the run. Let's tell him we're going to have a Holy Ghost revival today." Oh, yes. Hell is a bad place. Flowers never grow. Birds never sing. Sun doesn't shine. No water there. All the millionaires in hell, combining their money together, cannot buy one drop of water. No smiles there. No children playing there. You'll never hear the pitter-patter of little feet in the regions of the underworld. Ladies and gentlemen, snakes hissing in every crevice, demons dancing in every corridor, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, an endless chaotic night, burning inferno, prison house of despair, multiplied millions are there tonight. Oh God, it stirs me, it moves me, it shakes me as I remember the story about the man from the occult as he came and started knocking on doors and trying to win a convert to his cult, rather. He was talking about his damnable doctrine. He knocked on the door of a spirit-filled Christian, and he started talking his damnable doctrine. And finally, the spirit-filled Christian held his hand up and said, "No, you're wrong. My Bible says Jesus is the only way. And if you don't come through him, you'll wind up in hell." After he talked for some time with fervency and forceful, pungent, powerful, anointed force, he said to that man, "You need to get right with God or you'll go to hell." The man stopped him. He said, "If that's the truth, why am I knocking on your door and you're not knocking on my door? I'm stirred tonight. Not far from my office door is a place. It's a Texaco station, not far from Lambert's restaurant in Ozark, Missouri. And right there at my office, I could look out for a long time and see that station. And I think of the situation that happened not too long ago. The bus pulled in carrying Conway Twitty. Conway Twitty, not realizing his days were numbered, began to have pains in his stomach, rushed to the hospital, but it was too late. He died before he died. He was on a talk show. They asked him about his life, and he made this statement that God had called him to be a minister in his early years. If Conway Twitty could come back, and I'm not telling you where he is because I don't know, and I don't know where Elvis Presley is, but I know this: everyone that dies outside of Christ is in hell. I don't care how good they are, how well intended they are, good deeds, good things, philanthropists, humanitarians, they can be given millions of dollars, but you die outside of Christ, you go to hell. And I'm going to tell you, our pulpits have been silent on that. And we've got book reviews, and we've got current events, and we've got social reports. It's time that we warn the world there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Get right with God. Jesus is coming, and you're going to stand before him soon, and very soon. Story says there was a board meeting in hell. Old story. I've heard a different twist. But recently, board meeting in hell, the devil, Big Daddy Devil himself, chairman of the board, hit the table with a thunderous gong, if you will, and said, "Hell is not populating fast enough. Church is in revival. We've got to devise ways and means to get more people here." And one demon stood and said, "Let's go back and tell them there's no heaven." He said, "We've tried it. It doesn't work." Another stood and said, "Let's go back and tell them that there's no hell. We tried that. It doesn't work." And then a devil stood at the back and said, "Let's go back and tell people that there is no hurry." And the devil said, "That's the plan, that's the plot, that's the ploy. It's been adopted, it's been accepted. It's the slickest plank the devil has. He'll let you believe there's a hell, but he'll tell you that you've got plenty of time." Ladies and gentlemen, the longer I live, the more I realize that your life is a vapor, and you don't know how much vapor you got left. So you need to give all your vapor to Jesus Christ, and sing with your vapor, and shout with your vapor, and clap your hands with your vapor. Come on, Mr. Businessman. Come on, preacher. Telling you hell is real. It's time to get right in God's sight. Good things in hell. When that hit me, I thought, "My God, there's nothing good about hell." He said, "No, it's bad. But you tell people there's good people there. Good people there. You see, if you go to hell without God, you'll be next to the child molesters and the rapists, and you'll be next to the Herods, the Hamans, the Hitlers, and the Husseins. And God never intended for you to go there. God wants you to be saved." And I've got good news about hell. I said, "I've got good news about hell." How can there be good news about hell? Here's the good news. Hell wasn't made for you. You wasn't made for hell. Hell was made for the devil. You was made for God. Let's turn this world around. Let Miami, Oklahoma know there is a remedy. I said, "There's a cure. There is a crimson stream of blood that can save every sin-sick soul from a devil's infernal eternal hell." Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Oh, God. Good intentions. Oh, I didn't want to come to hell. Lord, I was waiting till I retired. I was waiting. Ladies and gentlemen, good people. Good intentions, good works. You can work all you want to work. Religion won't get you there. I'm telling you, you can take an offering, make an offering like Cain. You can weep like Esau. You can leave Sodom like Lot's wife. You can make long prayers like the Pharisees. You can tremble like Felix. You can be near like the rich young ruler. You can be almost persuaded like King Agrippa and die and bust hell wide open. Ladies and gentlemen, for to miss it an inch is to miss it a million miles. And most people miss heaven by 18 inches. That is the distance from their head to their heart. Their head to their heart. I want to get right with God. I don't want to go to hell. Your mind tells you, I want to get saved, but we wait. We procrastinate. The demons are shouting with glee. You can pray till you're gray. Seek till you're weak. You can tarry till you're weary. Fast and pray till you pass away. But it's still by grace through faith plus nothing. You must be born again. I said, you must accept Jesus as your Savior. There's only one way. There's only one remedy. The sin that's damning more people to a devil's hell tonight than any other sin. And I want you to hear me. The number one sin that's damning more people to a literal burning inferno is not the sin of homosexuality, how horrendous it is. And sin hurts the heart of God, destroys humankind. It's not the horrendous sin of child molestation. It's not the horrendous sins, ladies and gentlemen, of perversion. Name all the sins you want to sin, but the number one sin that's damning more souls to a devil's hell than any other sin is the sin of religiosity. As man comes to God like Brother Cain, as people try to serve God in their own way, just serve God in your own way, and you go to the church of your choice, and you tell God what you want, and God's your water boy, and he's your servant, and you create your own God. If you don't like this version, get you another version of the Bible. If you don't like that version, write your own, and pretty soon, homosexuals are going to be writing the versions, amen. And we're going to water this thing down and cut corners and beat bushes until finally you'll have a Bible that is socially acceptable by everybody. It offends nobody. It's a sign of the end time. And brother, sister, preacher, friend, listen to me. The devil knew that he couldn't beat the church, so he joined the church. I said he joined the church. He came inside. He gives God a nod. He claps his hand when the preacher says something good. But you know what? God has spotted the devil. This last day revival has come to expose and expel the devil. It's not about religion. I said it's not about religion. It's not about good preaching. It's about the church getting sick of sin and Satan and getting right with God and praying until we see a Holy Ghost revival. Come on, give him a hand of praise. My God. Oh, God. I'm telling you right now, folks, you can be brainwashed, but not bloodwashed. You can miss heaven by 18 inches. As far as it is from your knees to the floor. Oh, God, I've done this and that and the other. And God says, I'm going to vomit on you. You make me sick. Would you stop bragging on yourself? The song, son, when you get there in God's eternal hall of the halls of heaven will not be Frank Sinatra's song. I did it my way, not on your life, folks, because you didn't do it your way and you're not going your way. Amen. When you get there, there'll be one song sung. It'll be sung by everybody in Adam's race. It will lift up and it will waft in the presence of God. And that song will be Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. The angels can't sing it. They can sing How Great Thou Art. They've been singing that for years. But I'm telling you, we're going to come and join in with Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. We're going to glorify one. There's going to be no superstars there. No big shots. No hot shots. Amen. I'm telling you right now, you get there, there'll be one that'll be exalted. And God is getting us ready. You're starting to feel right now what you're going to feel there. Heaven's coming in on us. Jesus is taking over the church. Amen. It's not your church. It's his. Amen. He's sending revival. He's getting us ready to stand in the hallowed halls of his eternal presence. I'm talking about religion. I'm talking about good men, good intentions, good works, good prayer meetings, the greatest prayer meetings going on. The rich man, I pray thee. I pray thee. Oh, God, Why is it we wait till then? I'm going to tell you why there's revival in the land today. And I'll tell you why I really don't want to go anywhere right now. I really don't. I'll tell you why God has brought us here with this good pastor and associate. I'll tell you why. Because there's something in them that says there must be more. There must be more. How many here is just sick of yourself and sick of your little sermons and sick of your services and you're just sick of the bickering and the fussing and the fighting and the feuding and my church and your church and his church and their church? God's put something in us. I said he's put something in us. It's the divine discontent, folks. What we're doing doesn't work. It hasn't worked. Amen. Build you a fellowship hall. Build a bigger building. We got more money. But the world goes to hell with an earshot of your church. What we need is to get sick of ourselves and hungry for Jesus. And one more time before the trumpet sounds, oh God, rend the heavens. Make bare your holy arm. Send the Holy Ghost revival that'll smash on us and set us free from religion and sin and Satan and formality. Do it again, Lord, one more time. I'm so sick of religion. Good people, good works, good concern. Oh, listen, nothing wrong with concern. There's good things in hell. I pray thee, go warn my brothers. I'm telling you, in spite of his pain, the rich man was concerned about his brothers because he didn't want them to go there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, the world's greatest tragedy, say that with me, the world's greatest tragedy, it's not the Bosnia situation. It's not the deadlock and gridlock in Washington, D.C. It's not the upheaval in this sin-sick, hell-bent world of ours. But the world's greatest tragedy. Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 10 and 8, I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. I saw the wicked buried who had gone to church and left church. And that's the world's greatest tragedy. To be so close and yet to miss heaven by a million miles. To sit here, for you see, there'll be good memories in hell. If you die and go to hell, you'll remember this service. Oh, yes, you will. You'll remember the Holy Ghost moving and the choir singing that Jesus is the way maker. You'll remember the good feeling that you have and the good time that you had. And those memories will flood your mind. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receive us good things. Remember the hot hell of memory. There are good things there. There is good memories there, but it's too late. I said it's too late. My God, tonight is the night. I said tonight is the night. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit has put something within me. I'll never be the same as a result of what I've been through in the past 4 days. My mom's in heaven tonight. She lived a life loving her Lord and left an indelible, impeccable impression upon the kids. And I'll never forget, ladies and gentlemen, her words as she taught us and showed us and led us to Jesus Christ. Today, as the preacher was given the eulogy and the address and ministered a mighty message, Brother Ken Brown from Arnold, Missouri People's Church, he lifted us into the clouds of glory, for we know where mom's at. You see, heaven is real. If we only had hope in this life, we'd be miserable. And I know that there have been people that have testified, you know, if there was no heaven, I'd still serve God. And that's a good testimony, but it's wrong. Amen. Because the Bible said, if you only had hope down here, you'd be miserable. Amen. And so I thank God for joy here. But something that keeps me going is to know soon and very soon I'm leaving this world behind. I'm going to meet my master. I'm going to stand before my maker. I'm going to meet my mom again. Amen. Hallelujah. Ten children in the family, seven in the ministry, two grandchildren in the ministry. 25 grandchildren, if you will, all of them living for Jesus Christ on the road to heaven. Mom, ladies and gentlemen, done some things right, but the thing she did right was to tell us that Jesus is the way and the only way. And I'm telling you right now, going to heaven will be the ultimate trip, the ultimate euphoria, exuberant, jubilant ecstasy to get there. And as I stood at mom's casket today, and as I placed my hand upon her cold hands, as I kissed her cold forehead, and the mayor, and go get the city clerk and the judge. Get everybody. And by the time they gathered them around the bedside, they said, what do you want? He said, I don't know how many people you've seen die, but I want everybody here to witness and to see a child of God die. And he raised his hands and began to shout the name of Jesus as caravans of angels took him to heaven. I'm telling you, death is not a demotion. It's a promotion for the child of God. It's not a leap into the dark. It's a shortcut to glory. Hallelujah. If you're right with God, it's a graduation ceremony. What a great thing to change worlds. I've met very few people as compassionate as Brother Baser. Kind, compassionate, generous. The gift of pastoring rises within him and puts me in my calling. I'm an evangelist, amen. And I'll never try to be a pastor after hanging around him. But I'm telling you, folks, the kindness, the compassion. And he talks about God giving him poems and funerals and giving him messages going to put in a book. And I can't wait to get it because, you see, I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death with a lot of people. But to be there yourself, you need a hope to hold on to. You need words that'll come down deep into your spirit like cold water to a thirsty soul. That hope will help you, and the hope that we'll meet again, not just mom, but all the kids and all the grandkids. I'm telling you right now, folks, take the wealth, take everything, fame, name, possessions, positions, take affluence, influence, degrees, pedigrees, take everything. Give me the hope that when I get there, I'm going to look and see my boy come running across the grassy green fields of glory and see my wife and my mom and my dad, my brother, my sister. I've got a feeling tonight that we're going to curse the devil and say, devil, you cannot have my kids. You cannot have my mom. We're going to go to heaven together. But just like there's something better than going to heaven, taking others with you, there's something worse than going to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, and this is that. What's worse than going to hell? You don't go to hell by yourself. You think about it. You wake up in the regions of the doomed and the damned. Hear the echoes, teeming millions multiplied as they scream, weep, and wail, and gnash their teeth. And you look up in outer darkness, and you see your son. And he looks at you with eyes of hopelessness and helplessness forever. Everybody say forever. Say forever. For how long is eternity? I wrote this down. God gave it to him. If a little bird took one grain of sand from the shores of the Atlantic Ocean and flew all the way across the United States of America to the Pacific shores and deposited that one grain of sand, flew all the way back, picked up another grain of sand, flew all the way back, and put it down. By the time all the sand had been carried over, eternity will just have begun. Eternity is a long, long time. There's no escape from the prison house of despair. And the saddest thought I've ever had in my life was not just to go to hell, but to look and to see family and friends. And they ask you, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Ladies and gentlemen, a great preacher. If I were to tell you his name, you would know his name. He's one multiplied millions to Jesus via television, via printed page. God's used him mightily. He's a soul winner par excellence. He's got one throbbing throw in his message. And as I stand before you tonight, I beg God coming down I-44, oh God, souls, souls, souls. I thank God for the blessing of the Lord upon the saints. But I'm telling you right now, in this last great revival, there's not just going to be a refreshing among the saints. There's going to be a harvest of souls. We're going to plunder the devil's camp. We're going to take people, snatch them from the burning brass of hell, and we're going to populate heaven. I said, we're going to populate heaven. Devil, you cannot have this city. You cannot have your city. You cannot have our churches. Amen. Devil, get down. Get back. Get off. Get out of here. We're going to heaven, and we're taking people with us. And they asked him one time about his soul winning. How do you speak, and why do you speak with such passion and compassion and fervency? He said, I was awakened one night by my sister screaming. She was weeping and crying and screaming in hysteria. I raced to her room and burst in. She said, I've just had a vision of hell. She said, oh, it's awful. It's so awful. And she said, Bubba, Daddy is there. Her dad had died years earlier without God. And God let that sis see her dad in the fires of hell. scorched in that preacher's spirit. He never forgot that. And every time he dons a podium and thunders the word of Almighty God, he can see his daddy burning in hell forever. Brother Clendenin from Beaumont, Texas, I preached for him several times, a mighty man of God. He said, I saw hell. I saw the flames leaping and licking. I heard the weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth, the rolling, thunderous flames. And it was a place, the epitome of evilness and badness. In the midst of it all, when I saw the teeming millions, I saw one man that would run through hell and pick somebody up, look at him, and throw him down. He ran over here, picked a man up, looked at him, and threw him down. My God, he cried, what's that man doing? God said, he's looking for a preacher that lied to him. He's looking for a preacher that never told him the truth. That's why as I stand before you tonight, I'm going to tell you there's going to be good preachers in hell. I said there's going to be good preachers in hell, good teachers in hell, good deacons in hell, good people in hell. If sin is in you, ladies and gentlemen, there'll be no sin that will enter in. The message for this last day revival is not be good and be nice and come down and give God a nod. The message is flee from the wrath to come. Get rid of your sin. Get out of your comfort zone and stop playing the game of religion. Get your hand out of the devil's cookie jar. It's not a time to be brief or bright or brotherly. It's time to get right with God and lay all sin aside. Come on, give him a hand of praise. Good things in hell. Say it with me. Good things in hell. I'm just about through, but God isn't. Something worse than going to hell is to take your kids with you. You see, somebody's looking at you. Somebody's following you. I told you the other morning, most of you weren't here, Sunday morning, that my mom lost without God, taking care of the books for Dad years ago, came out of a nominal church, wasn't ready for heaven then, but the Holy Spirit began to deal with her, grip her heart. There's a light that followed Mom and Dad as they went from Potosi, Missouri to Salem, Missouri. The family was coming on. God was dealing with Mom. She didn't realize it, but she felt the presence of the Lord. She was praying, but she wasn't ready to meet God at that time. That light in the sky bothered Dad and Mom, and Mom said, let's go to church tonight. They usually went to the nominal church. Mom said, no, let's go to that Assembly of God church. Well, why, Pauline, do you want to go there? She said, because there's a preacher there that pays his bills. She said, every Monday, he comes by, and he pays money that he owes on tires. And last week, Vernon, he could only pay 75 cents. But he came and paid 75 cents. And my mom was moved by the integrity and the honesty and the righteous living of Brother Harrison, who's in heaven tonight. Brother Harrison had a big family, didn't have a lot of money. But he knew what it was to live for God. My mom so moved, she went to that church, and that pastor preached that night about signs in the heaven and lights in the sky. She gave her heart to Jesus Christ. God filled her with a ghost called holy. God saved and filled all 10 kids with the Holy Ghost, with evidence of speaking of the tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. And as we said at that funeral service today, ladies and gentlemen, and as I stood there by my mom's coffin, I'm telling you, I will miss her. But I'm telling you, it's not a hopeless, helpless feeling I have, because I know just as sure as I stand before you that soon and very soon I'm going to stand on streets of gold. I'm going to look at walls of jasper. I'm going to run past gates of pearl. I'm going to run across grassy green fields of glory, and I'm going to behold Jesus in all of his beauty and all of his splendor. I'm telling you, heaven is real. I said heaven is real, and you can know that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all is well. But you can feel good. Be good, do good, hear a good message, have good memories, do good works, have good talent, and go to hell without God. God says repent. Everybody say repent. And that's the message. And I'm telling you right now, folks, there's no other message. There's no other message. Brother Kilpatrick told me the other day a story that thrilled my heart. In the middle of that great revival in Pensacola, Florida, people are coming in by the droves. Evangelist Steve Hill has one message, repent, repent. I'm telling you, folks, I've always wanted to be a good preacher, memorize good sermons, and have good revivals. I'm telling you right now, it's changed my whole life, that revival. What I want to see now is people saved, set free from sin, souls, souls, souls. God said, you think of souls, and I'll take care of the sermons, I'll take care of the crowds, I'll take care of the offerings. How many knows? God knows that orchestrated revival. I'm telling you, multiplying thousands have been saved, and Steve Hill is a man so possessed soul possessed with singleness of vision. Souls, souls, souls. The other day, a superintendent from Indiana, my brother works for the superintendent there as the new church evangelism director. He said, Brother Crank went down there and he was so blessed and impressed. And Brother Crank is a fine man of God, a powerful preacher. But Brother Crank says, I haven't seen anything like it. He said, I don't see how anybody can even begin to criticize. He said, all those souls being saved, it's like an invisible hand will sweep across that building when he gives the altar call. And they'll come from balconies, they'll come all over the building. I'm telling you something, folks, people will drive up on the parking lot and tell the attendant, I've come tonight to give my heart to Jesus. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit's doing something today. He's doing something today. I'm telling you right now, folks, this Bless Me Club, it's over. Your religious country club, God's going to bust it up. I said, God's going to bust it up. He's sick of your church and he's sick of you. Amen. He wants you to repent and get right with him. Amen. Steve Hill, souls, 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 and they come and they keep coming, and he goes out and he gets them, and they keep coming, they keep coming. My God, I've been there. I know how it is, folks. I get saved every time I go. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm going to get saved tonight. I said, I'm going to get saved. I'm going to be the first one to answer my altar call. Amen. You won't beat me to the front. I'm running. Amen. I want Jesus set me free. If there's anything, I said, if there's anything, the day of the little itsy bitsy teeny weeny religious service is over. I said, it's over. It's a thing of the past. It's Ichabod. God said, I'm coming after souls. I'm going to shake my church. It's not your church. You thought it was. God said, this building, forget the building. This is just a building people meet. He said, I've got a body. It's the body of Christ. It's a big body. I'm going to bring them together. I'm going to save, sanctify, justify, refresh, and revive. And I'm coming for a glorious church. Oh, God. My God. I want you to be seated as I finish this story. Pastor Kilpatrick was talking about it, folks, and my brother was telling me what Brother Crank had said. He said, Brother Crank, very calculated, very diplomatic, analytical mind, will analyze everything, but knows the moving of God. Superintendents have come in, their lives have been changed. I know pastors that have sent their entire staff. One pastor who's an executive presbyter for the Assemblies of God up north sent 10 of his staff members down. They were all changed. They've been in revival ever since. The other day he sent $10,000 to Brownsville and said, that's just an offering for blessing our church. How many knows that's when you're having revival, when people start giving them? Come on, say amen, somebody. Holy Ghost moving so awesome. It's not about man. It's not about Brother Kilpatrick or about Steve here. They won't let their pictures be put on TV or let their pictures be put on magazines. No, no, no. They won't let the TV cameras come in to try to glamorize and dramatize. And they don't want a three-ring circus. They know the glory of the Lord has come back to the church. It's not about man. It's not about my ministry, your ministry. It's his ministry. In the midst of it all, Steve Hill don't want to talk about fishing, playing golf. He goes to bed 2 o'clock in the morning, gets up at 4 and prays for 2 hours, and God gives him fresh messages. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. He's been there for 19 months. And he told me the other day, he said, I only had 6 sermons when I came. Amen. That'll keep you digging. It's keeping me digging, Pastor. I'm going to have to borrow some sermons from Pastor before it's over. Amen. Or from you. It'll keep you digging. But I'm telling you, God will give you a fresh word. And if you think you're having a hard time getting something from God, think about the preacher in Russia who for years, 70 years, had one page of the Bible, Deuteronomy. And from that one page of the Bible, he preached. How many's having trouble getting sermons? Don't raise your hand, folks. But I'm telling you right now, there's messages. I said, God will give you messages, one word. He can give you a message from one word. But Steve Hill, possessed and obsessed, compassion, souls, 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 save people from the burning. And Brother Crank walked up to him. And if you know anything about the Pentecostal outpouring and the great revival, Bible there's just hundreds saved every week, and then they start praying for people. What you'll see here in a few moments, this is kind of a replica of what God's doing across the land. And as they're praying for people, little Japanese people are coming in by the droves, delegations. Brother Kilpatrick said that they're so thick, the crowd is so thick around there, that those Japanese people said they'll find out the color britches you're wearing, and they'll crawl underneath everybody and just pop up in front of you and say, "Mi mama kote mata." That's what he said. That's exactly what he said. It's the funny. He said, John, he said, my breeches have been torn. He said, all my cuffs are gone. He said, the tassels are gone off my shoes. He said, I'm telling you, he said, they're hungry. You know, Japan needs a revival. I said, Japan needs a Holy Ghost revival, folks. They're not like America. They're hungry for revival. You'll like this story, and you'll remember this story. It really happened. Brother Crank walked up, district superintendent. Oh, I love it. He said to Brother Hill, "I really appreciate the touch of God upon your life and the simplicity and sincerity." About the time, little Japanese guy came by, and Steve said, "Just a minute. Now. The man fell. And Steve said, "Go ahead. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen. Glory. How many wants to see the glory of the Lord come back to the church? Oh, I'm hungry. Now. Lord, do it again. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Cry out to God. Cry out to God for a move of the Holy Spirit. Lift your voice and cry out to God. Lift your voice and cry out to God. Rimasanda rababokotaya. Olandaramamahaya. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to remain standing. I want you to look this direction. And I want you to listen to me. I haven't preached on hell this whole revival. Early this morning, God said, "You go in there and you tell them there are some good people there. And there's good talent there. And it's going to take more than goodness to make heaven the blessed abode of your never-dying soul. You can have good intentions and be well-meaning. You can walk out of here with sin in you and die lost without God." Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this preacher. I don't want to go to hell. Not on your life. I'm telling you right now, I want the blood of Jesus to cleanse me one more time. Wash me thoroughly, soak my soul, and set me free. Because you see, the wretched drunken stumblebum staggered out early in the morning, Sunday morning. This was his custom. He was going to the bar. This is what he did. The snow was deep. He made his way in the snow, leaving tracks behind him. He heard a noise. He turned to see his little 5-year-old boy stepping in those tracks that he had made. He said, "Boy, what are you doing?" He said, "Dad, I'm walking in your tracks." And those words hit him like a ton of bricks as he picked that child up and rushed him back in. He wandered and sauntered to the bar that morning, but he couldn't drink. For as he tried to drink and drown his sorrows, all he could hear was that wee little boy's voice, "Daddy, I'm walking in your tracks. I'm walking in your tracks." He never got drunk that morning. He went and grabbed that boy and his wife and went to church and gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God. Jesus. Now, I'm telling you right now, as I stand before you, my heart thrilled with excitement today when Brother Ken Brown, as he gave that message that God gave him, he said, "This is not a day of sadness, but gladness. Pauline Davis is free from pain, worry, sickness, and sorrow. And the good news is there's a host of family and friends that can join her soon. And that's the most exciting thing I've heard in my life. But as I came down the highway, it hit me. There's something worse than going to hell. And that's to look and your kids following in your tracks. People's walking right behind you. What are you going to tell them when you get there? How are you going to explain?" Bow your head and close your eyes. His name is wonderful. Jesus. Jesus, I love that name. There's only one name. There's only one way. And tonight, Monday night, Miami, Oklahoma, this 12th week, Holy Ghost revival. My God, search this auditorium. Breathe and brood over us. My God, I curse religion. I coax lukewarmism. I come against pride. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan. I curse you. And if you've got the nerve to show your ugly head in here, I'm going to hit it with the word of God and the blood of Jesus. You got to go, devil, because nobody here is yours. We're going to claim everybody for heaven, not just here. But this revival is going to spread. People's going to take it to their churches, their towns, their communities. I'm believing you, God, tonight for multitudes. Souls. Lukewarm people, young people, moms and dads. I set everybody free right now in Jesus' name. And I release the convicting power of the Holy Ghost to liberate everybody here. Show us sin in us, God. May we never be the same. Help nobody to feel snug right now. My God, strip us and stretch us. May we stand naked in your presence. May we see through your eyes the way we look never the same, forever changed as a result of Monday. This great revival service in Jesus' name. Holy Ghost is moving. He's settling on us right now. This is a good crowd. There's no doubt you're good people. There's been good singing, good worship. But there's good things in hell. I'm asking you a question. How many of you say, John Davis, there's something in me that could keep me out of heaven. There's something in me I don't want to stay there. It's sin. It's transgression. It's abomination. It's wrong. I love God, but so have multiplied millions that have died lost. I want to get right with God tonight. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all is well in the name of Jesus. Heads about, eyes are closed. I want everybody to whisper the name of Jesus. Do it now. Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. And again. Jesus. Only one name. Only Jesus. One name. Only one name. Please don't tell me about your degrees and pedigrees. I'm unimpressed, and so is he. I don't want to know about how many times you've been to church this week. I'm asking you a question. Do you know that all is well? If you say, John Davis, I'm not sure that I'm right with God. I'm not sure that I'm ready to meet Jesus. I'm afraid there's sin in me that'll keep me ground bound when the trumpet sounds. Would you pray for me? The Holy Spirit's moving right now. God's moving all over this building. As God speaks to your heart, please, everybody, take your pride and leave it in the pew. And don't you try to impress God. And don't you lie to the Holy Ghost. Don't you lie to the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, this is the last call of God to his church. He's sick of religion. If you try to impress him with your stained glass voice, he's going to vomit on you out of his mouth into the tribulation period. I will spew you out of my mouth. John Davis, I'm not sure that I'm right with God. Would you pray for me? I want to know that all is well. If I'm talking to you right now, don't even raise your hand. If there's a doubt in your heart, get out of your seat. Hurry. Get out of your seat right now and come to the front. Hurry. Come on, hurry. Hurry in the name of Jesus. Come on, you're coming. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Come on, come and stand. Come and stand right here in the presence of God with your hands in there. Come on, young person. Come on, mom and dad. If there's a doubt in your heart, you're coming. All over this building, you're coming. From the back, from the front. Don't you wait. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost has given an altar call. He does it every night. He's given another altar call. Come right here to the middle. Come as close as you can, please. Come and just stand in his presence. In a few moments, we will kneel, but just stand. Come, hurry, hurry. John Davis, I'm not sure. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all is well. As you come, lift your hands to Jesus. Lift your hands to Jesus. Sing it, Jerry. There's a crowd coming right now. There's a crowd coming. There's a crowd coming. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, young person. Come on, mom and dad. There's a doubt in your heart that you're ready to meet Jesus. Get out of your seat. Get out of your comfort zone and run to Jesus. You're still coming. You're still coming tonight. Hurry. Hurry. Don't wait another second. John, I'm not sure that I'm ready. There's sin in my life. I want Jesus to set me free. Hurry, hurry. Come on. Come on, mom. Come on, dad. Come on, young person. Come on, young person. There's a crowd down here, but there's a crowd out there that needs to move. He's the great shepherd as we sing it. There's a doubt in your heart. Get out of your seat and run down here to meet Jesus. Come on. Others are coming. I feel it right now, God.